Mystery Crate has been presented by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Mystery Crate. My name's Roy. I'm here with the fellow producers.
My name's Chris.
My name is Mike Ryan.
My name's John.
Ah, oh, you little rabble rouser.
No, it's not.
Wait, what?
You fooled me. Billy Gill.
You got out. You were like, my name is, and you're like, am I going to go my name or am I going to go something funny? And
yeah.
Like, John.
I thought you were going to go, my name is Slim Shady. Honestly. No. I thought that's what you were going to do. Yeah.
Anthony's over there.
Anthony is over there.
This is a big Anthony episode.
Yeah.
Go ahead and do your thing, Anthony.
What's up, boys?
You have a catchphrase.
So,
I've been here for 16 years. I don't have a catchphrase. Actually, you know what? Maybe.
We got to stretch a little bit. No, are we going to just get right into this? We need to stretch a little bit, right?
Why? Because we didn't go that long?
You right.
You just show our cards? Because the interview was like around 20 minutes and we want to give people a little bit more content?
Yeah, let's stretch in it.
Yeah, all right. Big man, you got an idea?
No, we can talk about anything. It just made me think of stretching. Are you guys big stretchers? I stretch before softball.
I stretch before soccer.
What do you stretch?
I like one of my favorite stretches. Obviously, there's the classic ones where you're stretching out like your hamstrings, where you put your legs straight and you grab your toes. Like that's a standard stretch. But one of
I can't touch my toes with
no, I can't either. But just bending down, trying.
It's a tall people problem.
You can touch your toes?
How long?
I can touch my toes.
Wow,
Anthony, you are
flexible. Do you yoga?
In Bristol, I used to do yoga three times a week.
Yeah.
I used to be able to put my palms on the floor from a standing position.
Wow,
now I'm only
baby.
Like maybe like. Like four fingers.
Mm. I have longer legs than you. I think your body is evenly distributed. In fact, maybe your torso is a little bit longer than most. So I'm wondering if that has to do with it. I'm also generally not flexible. I'm going to stop making excuses. I can certainly.
Yeah, yeah, that's impressive.
You know who's actually pretty flexible lately?
Who's that, Mike?
Dan.
Yeah, Dan.
Dan, can you regale us with tales of how flexible you've gotten recently?
I can do a back bend.
Yeah, that's. Whoa. I've seen him do it.
Like a bridge? Thing?
Yeah.
The Exorcist thing?
Like a bridge.
Where you can make a bridge, a human bridge.
Liar.
You want to do it on the show today?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How long can you hold it?
This is a podcast, so today...
No one will know because it comes out tomorrow.
So just do it for the Mystery Crate.
You say you want to do it on the show earlier this week? Yeah.
All right. So
I thought
Dan's
you guys did
right
Mystery
now.
Crate live. I thought you guys wanted to leave.
Whenever someone wants to listen, we're just standing around microphones, and every episode of Mystery Crate is live into people's personal whatevers.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
By
whatevers.
The way, congratulations to the one lucky listener that got the ear autograph.
Yeah,
that was
cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
The ear autograph last week. Yeah.
This week we're doing something special on the heels of last week's success. Two autographs this week.
Hey,
So we're not going to get to my favorite stretch.
No, but it's getting us to Dan doing a back bend right now.
Wow.
Whoa. This is incredible.
Oh, man.
Why doing it on the table that him and Scott sit on?
He is balancing a cup of coffee on his navel right now. Dan Lebatard, incredibly flexible.
Wow.
He just let go, Dan.
Oh, into a full split.
Wow.
Incredible. For some reason, he's
spilled the coffee. He spilled that coffee.
He spilled the coffee, but I mean, worth it. That was spectacular.
I've never done it nude before.
Yeah, I know.
You're
happy to see us.
Yeah. Oh, that coffee wasn't hot.
Back to my favorite stretch. I like a good ass stretch. So what you do is you kind of you take one leg.
What in the entire hell are you talking about?
No, that's how you stretch your glutes.
Like a good ass stretch.
I'm going to stand as if I'm a flamingo.
I don't believe it's called an ass stretch.
It is.
It is. It is.
As if I'm a flamingo, I'm going to put all my weight on my left foot, and I'm going to pull my right foot up on my thigh, and then I'm going to sit. Oh, man, that right glute right now.
Is that a glute stretch?
Oh, dude, do it.
It's actually a hip stretch.
Yeah.
It's a hip.
No, it's not.
Yeah, no, it is.
That's a hip stretch.
It is a hip.
Your hips are being stretched right now.
You've always proven yourself to be a lovable idiot.
You guys are idiots here because I've like worked out with trainers. It might also be a hip stretch, but if you don't feel it on your glute, you're not doing it right.
I feel it on my ass,
you do. I mean, it's an ass stretch.
I feel it on my ass. You know what? You're not a lovable idiot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You're just an idiot.
I'm not saying that it's not a hip stretch as well, but it definitely gets
the way it loves you.
Definitely wakes up the glutes. I love that stretch. I do before every softball game.
Yeah. What other stretches do you do?
Good. It's really just the hamstring stretch, get the glute stretch a little bit, and you pull up the back leg, like, you do this thing.
You stretch like your side so you don't like hurt yourself or your back,
the windmill
maybe.
Thing. Yeah. You guys aren't big stretchers. Stretching feels great.
Jumping jacks.
Big
maybe.
Stretcher.
No jumping jacks.
That's when I yawn.
I'm just not good at it, but
I haven't jacked in years.
Play soccer twice a week, so I got to stretch twice a week.
A little karaoke. You guys ever do a little karaoke?
Carryovers? Yeah.
Karaoke's cool. I've got hamstring stretch for everybody. It's called Scoops.
Oh, okay. Scoops and Cody.
And Scoops is what you do is and we'll you guys can do a play-by-play.
Gotta describe it vividly.
So yes. You kind of get in like a crouch position.
You're
right?
Dressed like you were ready to stretch today.
I'm always ready to stretch.
Yeah.
Although, Anthony, I must say, you're wearing a Nike jacket with Adidas, pants.
Yeah, the thing is, it was early this morning. It was early this morning. I didn't
what
realize how cold
you
it
have
was.
You have New Balance here, a total mess.
No. I have Prestos on.
Okay.
It was early this morning. I just grabbed the first one. Whatever. Not the point. Point is, you get in kind of like a crouch position. You straighten out your leg, and then what you do is, I'm going to go away from the mic here. What you do is, you scoop down, like if you're picking mm-hmm. something up from the floor.
Yeah.
Kind of do one of these moves.
Yeah.
You look ridiculous. But
he's scooping.
Oh, man, does it get your hamstrings
picking
going?
Something
also,
up from the
I saw your butt crack.
Oh, wow, you're right.
Yeah,
this
pull up
works.
Your pants, man.
This
pull
thing
up your
works.
Pants.
Yeah.
Wear a belt.
No, you're
get
fine.
Down there.
No, you're actually considering.
I didn't even get low.
You know what's surprising? Your butt's not that big.
I have a very small butt.
You have a small butt.
My wife
butt.
Thinks it's cute. Smut. Butt, she's always said it. Cute butt.
Oh, that's great.
Cut.
That's mm-hmm. great.
This week's episode is about dunking.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Not donuts. Slam dunking, to be precise.
You know, Dunkin' Donuts dropped the donuts from their name.
It's
wow.
just Dunkin'
now.
Just Dunkin'.
Yeah.
Yes.
Really
I don't like it.
Way.
I like their coffee. Yeah, I like their good. Coffee. So with all the controversy with like the most recent slam dunk competition in which America...
That, by the way, boys and girls, is how you stretch.
Oh, the actual...
Oh, there you go.
The actual
good job,
stretching
bro.
Of time.
So the slam dunk contest in the NBA All-Star Weekend was highly controversial because... Most people seem to think Aaron Gordon should have won it, even though he didn't. Clear Taco Fall, and we're from Miami, and we're homers, mm-hmm. and Derrick Jones Jr. is a better dunker.
Yes.
But Derrick Jones Jr. wins. People blame Dwayne Wade for going against the plan. You all saw it. It actually had pretty good ratings. But we were talking on the national show in the local hour about dunk contests, and Billy thinks it requires fixing. I thought it was fine, but it was certainly a Twitter topic du jour. So... This mystery crate is going to get to the bottom of what happened in that contest, and we're welcoming in an absolute expert. Anthony, who's joining us on the show?
Yeah! So we did a little bit of an investigative research study, right? And we were like, hey, first of all, in the dunk contest, who did Derrick Jones Jr. jump over?
Had no idea.
Who is that guy? We
who
don't know who
guy?
He is. We're
He's
in a tie-dye
famous.
Jacket. We don't know who he is. We know Chance the Rapper.
Yeah.
We know Taco Fall.
Yeah.
We don't know who this guy is.
I just know that he had tie-dye shoes and I liked them.
That's right. They were very nice. But I did some investigative reporting and I found that Derrick Jones Jr. jumped over none other than Chuck Milan. You don't know the name, wow. but I'll tell you what you do know. He's the president of Team Flight Brothers.
I don't know that either.
Milan Rouge.
What is Team Flight Brothers?
It's the group of dunkers that are the best dunkers on the planet. He's the CEO and makes everything happen. And he's also an NBA dunk coach.
I was hoping it was like a secret society of pilots.
Oh.
Hmm.
What a turd.
Who, Billy or the intro?
Just know what he threw in there. You guys all just stared at him when he said, I was hoping it was a pilot, and it just
no,
sat
secret
there.
Secret Society of Pilots.
And,
what's okay. your favorite secret
the
society?
Brothers.
Mine's going to be the Skulls.
Skull and Bones. Skull and
yeah. The Masons. The Masons.
Yeah,
ooh,
the Masons. Are they secret? How about the Elks?
The Elks? I don't know
Elks.
What's going on in that lodge.
Dan, your favorite secret society?
Are you guys aware of how hard it is to become a Mason? Like the level of things that you have to do?
No.
It is really hard.
Wait, are you a Mason?
I'm not a Mason, but I know people who are Masons, and they've told me about the process.
40-some-odd levels, right?
You guys should look it up. I think you'll find interesting the lengths that Masons have to go to be.
Just tell me.
It's just easier for me to tell you.
Yeah, tell me.
Easier.
Go ahead.
I mean, honestly, any of these are good secret societies if we know about them.
Yeah.
The best secret societies you don't know of, because their secrets.
Yeah.
Right.
What was the Are You Afraid of the Dark Secret Society?
Oh,
I think they just
yeah.
called themselves a secret society. Submitted
That's
for the
something.
Approval of a secret society.
Yeah. I don't know.
And then they would throw sand on a campfire.
So how do I become a Mason, Dan?
Yeah.
I got to look it up. You guys, hold on.
How do I become an elk?
We can get to this interview and we'll get the answer after.
Yeah. Well, Dan's Illuminati. He knows that process. Oh. You and Jay-Z, right?
That's right. And Beyonce.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to interview Chuck Millen, and he dropped the I because there's no I in team. And he's joining us here to explain what happened
there's
in that dunk.
There's still an I in his name, though, at the start.
Yeah, but for whatever reason, we're not pronouncing it. It's Chuck Millen.
Yeah.
Right.
Is it Milan?
Milan.
Chuck Milan. But there's an I.
He directed Milan. Right.
Yes.
Okay. Holy shit, that's a bad joke.
Yeah, he tried to get two of them in there, by the way. Milan joke.
Man. Apple not far from the tree sometimes
why?
With you.
Jesus, why? The Midnight Society.
The Midnight Society.
Yes.
What are all these kids doing around a campfire at midnight? Where are your parents?
Are You Afraid of the Dark was super scary.
They're bringing it back. What was your favorite episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark? Mine was Nosferatu when it came out of the screen.
That was kind of
terrifying. Yeah. The pinball one was kind of cool, too. Twist ending, he stays stuck in the game forever.
Wow, spoiler alert.
I read they're bringing that back.
He's still there.
Mm-hmm. So Chuck Millen joins us right now. I just made him like...
It's Chuck Milan.
Oh, Chuck Milan.
Cousins with Christina Milian.
There you go.
Oh, God. Get this guy out of here,
dip it low, pick it up slow.
That's as much as we can sing of that song.
That's it. That's all.
And she wasn't called Christina Milan. I'm very confused.
No,
how to say this person.
Million.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Slam dunk contest conversation coming up next here on Mystery Crate.
What's up, boys? Oh, man, do we have a special for you. On the line, we've got Chuck Milan from Team Flight Brothers. And if I told you 10 to 13 years ago, I'd be talking to the guy that created Team Flight Brothers, my 13-year-old self would be freaking out because I used to watch YouTube videos of Team Flight Brothers from T-Dub, from Just Fly, from the Air Up There, all the guys that were part of the dunk wave, and Chuck was the guy to bring them to the forefront. Chuck Milan, Team Flight Brothers, what's going on, bud?
Man, thank you for having me, and thank you for just, you know, making me feel super old. That was awesome.
You feel old? I have no idea what he's talking about.
Gosh, I mean, I'm 13 years old, huh? All right.
Well, I mean, I'm 28 now, and I remember watching videos of you guys on grainy, super grainy, like camcorders and stuff that you would do back in 2005, 6, 7, 8, growing up in middle school and high school and playing basketball. I mean, this was what I ate, slept, dreamt about was Team Flight Brothers, was Hoop Mixtape, was all the stuff you guys were doing.
Yeah, man. Well, I think YouTube, that's all they allowed us to upload it in back then, was like 240p. So it's like, that's all we had. But yeah, it's crazy. A lot of NBA players say the same thing to me now. And they're like, I was in middle school watching you guys and stuff. So I'm just like, man, I'm getting old here.
How did you realize, hey, this is something that I can do and I can actually make money on? I'm putting YouTube videos or putting videos on the internet of people dunking.
To be honest, I had no idea. I was actually a professional dunker when I was 18 to 20 years old, and we didn't have social media outlets. And I figured out, I was like, man, I'm getting paid to do this. There's a lot of guys that can do this better than me that I know. So I just kind of started recruiting people, and it was pretty much a hobby. And I just would think, I was thinking that we would do like halftime shows or do something like that to earn some income. Then YouTube came along. We started posting some videos, and their partnership programs came up, and we ended up being the first sports partnership program with YouTube ever. So that's when we started generating some income from YouTube, and I was like, man, well, we can just keep doing this. And that's kind of when I quit my jobs and just kind of put 100% into the Team Flight Brothers.
Chuck, it's Mike. I am the guy that's really not all that familiar with Team Flight Brothers. When Anthony was setting you up and he said that, oh, he sleeps, eats, dreams Team Flight Brothers, I took offense that he didn't also shower Team Flight Brothers. I don't know how one goes about... Yeah, thank you for feeling that same way too, Chuck. I don't really know how someone sets out as the aspiration, I'm going to be a professional dunker. Were there professional dunkers out there? Like, what was the model that you were trying to follow?
No.
Or you're just like an originator?
No, there really wasn't any. So what happened is I won a slam dunk contest when I was a teenager in Miami. And it got the attention of somebody at Nike was there. And they would do brand activations overseas for NBA players. And he asked me, he was like, what's your deal? Are you playing college? Are you doing anything? I was like, no, I'm just working. I'm trying to figure out life. And he's like, would you want to come on tour? We're doing Nike brand activations in Asia. And I was like, they're like, we'll pay you this much money for being on the road for 5 months. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, yeah, let's go. So that's how the professional dunking aspect started for dunkers in the United States. So when I saw this outlet, I was like, man, I am not like, there's guys in my neighborhood that can dunk better than I can. And my legs are going to break down on me. I'd rather just start a business and get this going. So that's kind of how that all started. So it's pretty much an originator type of deal.
So Chuck, how tall are you?
I am 6 foot.
He won a dunk contest at 6 foot tall.
That is a little unbelievable. I think all of this started because we were trying to figure out, and Anthony was the person with the answer, we were trying to figure out who Derrick Jones Jr. brought out to dunk. Because, you know, I mean, not that Chance the Rapper is like skyscraper.
So
but
I got him by like a good 3 inches, guys. Chance is a little bit, but yeah.
Yeah, but are you counting for that massive noggin he has, though?
It's all in the hat, man. All in the hat.
So I hear a 6 foot guy can throw up like monster dunks because I was like, why is there? I got down to the history and Anthony was explaining to me that you're like a dunk coach and you were helping inspire some of these jams. And I'm like, you got to be able to dunk to be coach. Now, I'm sure you can dunk and still get up there, but I don't think that you can actually do the dunks that Derrick Jones Jr. could do. Few on the planet can. So how do you go about teaching that?
So what happens is that most of the dunks that you see go viral now, just because I can't physically do it anymore, doesn't mean I don't still think about it. And I've always thought about it in different ways than anybody else did. And that's sort of why I'm in the position that I am now. So now my body can't do the same things at 36 years old that it could when I was 20. I think of dunks and I'll hit up my guys that are, you know, the pro dunkers, or I'll talk to the NBA guys and be like, hey, you should try this. And this is how you go about doing it. And since I'm familiar with the way you jump and the technique with jumping, I am better at explaining it to people than pretty much anybody else is. So I kind of just think of the things and then I give it to these guys. And then that's what happens when they go viral and whatnot.
It's almost like you're playing a virtual video game, right? Like I'm creating the dunks in my mind and then somebody's going to actually go do them in real life.
Yeah, absolutely. That's pretty much what it is. I mean, I think stuff up. I'll literally be like throwing things around like in my hand or just watching somebody walk. And I'll be like, oh snap, like I just thought of a dunk. It's like, it's crazy to think this is my job. But it, you know, every day I think of a new dunk pretty much. And I'm just like, you know, somebody needs to try this, or I know who should try this type of deal.
How many dunk competitions have you had your hand in at the NBA level?
So pretty much every contest since 2013, I've had either worked with the winner or worked with somebody that came in second place or worked with somebody that originated like a dunk for the first time in the NBA contest. So since 2013.
Oh, so not unlike some of the great tennis coaches out there, you have a list of just champion upon champion upon champion. Obviously, you
Bob
took part.
Baffert, Mike.
Yeah, you took part in Bob Baffert, the Bob Baffert of dunks. You took part in this dunk contest. We saw you out there, and your guy won in Derrick Jones Jr., but it was also highly controversial. We're all Miami guys here.
Yeah.
We're all defending Derrick Jones Jr. And his honor and saying that Aaron Gordon didn't actually clear Taco Fall from the comfort of our couches. Yeah. But in your honest opinion, I got you on Truth Serum. Derrick Jones Jr., did he deserve to win that or did Aaron Gordon get robbed?
So let's get real dunk nerd on you guys real quick. All right. So Aaron Gordon's first dunk of the whole contest, he got a 50 up, right? After he missed the dunk. Will Barton did the same dunk in 2016 against him and got a 46 on. So we can start there. Then Aaron Gordon did the same dunk that Derrick Jones did over my assistant and I, Chase. I'm 6 foot, Chase is 6'2". He did the same dunk over 5'8", Chance the Rapper in the finals, or the overtime. Contest should have been over right there. That dunk wasn't as good as Derrick did over us. So if you're asking me who really won that contest, Derrick Jones won that contest. And there's no way in the world that Aaron Gordon is as good a dunker as Derrick Jones. Like, he can be creative, but there's other tricks to the trade, too. There's a lot of things, and, like, without throwing Aaron under the bus, because, like, at the end of the day, I do work. I am available to every guy in the dunk contest. It's up to them to work with me or not. So the NBA's made me available to Aaron Gordon. They make me available to Pat Connaughton and Dwight Howard. It's just a matter if they take the time to work with me or not. So I 100% believe that Derrick won that dunk contest, and he did. Like, it's not even the not clearing Taco part. It's the fact that you can go watch back. Well, the way he's grabbing the ball, he's literally pushing off of Taco's neck, like with the ball, like playing leapfrog. So, and he still didn't clear him. So I believe, I what Derek wanted, and I also wanted, was it to go to another dunk, because Derek had four more dunks ready. Like, we don't go in there with just four dunks ready, like Aaron did. So I believe Derek won that dunk contest.
Hey, Chuck, it's Billy. I feel like now we're starting to talk the same language, because I've been saying that I feel like they're a little 50-happy in the dunk contest. And the reason they get into the situation they're in is because they start giving everything a 50, and then where do you go from 50?
Agreed. So I 100% believe, like, and I will, like, throw out there a new point system type thing where, like, we don't have to get, like, meticulous with it and crazy, but maybe a 0.5 in there. You know, just, like, something in the middle in between 9 and 10 or 8 and 9, because it is real tough that once you start giving 10s and you're like, oh, you know, well, this one's good too, that it does get a little 10 happy.
So you agree with me that the dunk contest is broken. So this is what I've done for you.
No, that's not true.
I think we're on the same page, me and you.
I thought I heard you agree.
Yeah, like I feel like we're on the same page.
Dunk contest had the best rating since 2000. So we'll just throw that out there. And guess what? We're 2 weeks out now, and usually my phone stops ringing. But, you know, a week after the dunk contest, and I'm still talking about this dunk contest. So I wouldn't call it broken.
I mean, it doesn't change the fact that you agreed with
it. Like, your word's not mine. Yeah. So this is what I'm thinking we should do. Because I've been trying, you know, I want you to keep appearing in the dunk contest, and I want these things to keep happening. But we need changes, obviously. You said it just like, you know, I did. Yeah. So this is what I'm thinking we should do. I think that they should open up the dunk contest and have a couple wild cards. And some of your clients that aren't in the NBA come in and just wow everyone. What do you think about that?
Okay, so I fought through that for years, right? So here's how that goes. My guys practice for all year long to dunk. So they have dunks they can make all the time. But let me just throw this one out there too. My guys are 5'9 to 6'2. It takes us a long time when those dunks go viral. We're filming those dunks for 6 months, man. Like, we're not in there one and done. So we get three attempts in the NBA dunk contest. And if you think that we're going to go out there and break the internet on the first try, that's why you don't see it in big dunk contests with us. I love my guys. We have set dunks that we do in our shows and, you know, in our live performances that we know we're going to make. But those dunks that are breaking the internet, you only see them one time, and that's because we do them once, and that's it.
So why don't you make taller friends?
It just doesn't work that way. And I don't look as cool in pictures with tall people.
That makes sense. But see, Chuck was one of the guys that originated the Victor Oladipo 540, which that's the closest we've seen to a 720, yeah. Which is the heir up there's claim to fame. And I don't think we've ever seen another 720 other than his, right?
And Tony Hawk.
No, there has been a couple. Isaiah Rivera's done one from Orlando. Jordan Kilgannon's done one. I know somebody else has as well, but off the top of my head, those two have. And, you know, that dunk is going to happen in the NBA dunk contest. And I would not go against saying it would happen next year, because it was kind of in the plans for Derek already. And that
really?
Was like on his back. Yeah. Like we had dunks already set for next year that we just started practicing the night before, just in case there was like a crazy dunk off that happened. And so Derek's 100% capable of doing a 720. Derek Jones is literally the most capable dunker I've ever worked with, and that includes my team Flight Brothers players.
So that was going to be my next question, is who's the best pound-for-pound dunker that you've ever seen? Is it Derek Jones because of the height, because of his length, because of his leaping ability?
So Derek Jones is, I would say, the most capable dunker I've ever seen in my life, because he can jump off 1 foot, 2 foot, and literally he just gets the highest. I've never seen anybody get so high in my life. But the best, like, pound-for-pound dunker would be one of our original guys, T-Dub. He's 5'8 without shoes on, and he never worked out a day in his life, and I would literally call out a dunk, and he would just do it. If you have time, go on YouTube and look at the old videos. He was unbelievable.
Just jumping off of what you said earlier about the slam dunk contest being broken without a doubt, how about this as a solution? Starting everybody at a 50 and then just systematically picking apart the things that they didn't do that were worthy of a 50.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think that's a good idea at all. I think we just keep it like the 1 through 10 or maybe even 1 through 100, 50 through 100 or something like that. Either 50 through 100 or 9.5. I think just picking things apart, it's like now we're just being, we're just being picky with it. Like, you want to enjoy the dunk contest, but not be like, hey, this is what's wrong with this dunk. Like, the dunk contest is a fun time. It's a good time, you know?
Who's the most overrated dunker in the NBA right now?
Overrated dunker in the NBA right now. I mean, I don't know if I can say it because I'm like, I work.
You're still trying to get them as clients.
Yeah, yeah.
Judge, if I could read between the lines, I think you're calling out Aaron Gordon quite a bit.
Ooh,
here.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't mind having him as a client. Maybe you can sort of pitch yourself as like, you're a great kid, but with my help, you could be the best.
The missing piece.
Here it is. I have had Aaron Gordon as a client before, so that's like, there's
plot thickens.
I mean, we're cool with everything, but he was doing his own thing, man, and that's how it is. It was in 2017 as well. But I'm not going to say Aaron Gordon's the most overrated dunker. Aaron Gordon is like a dunk nerd. Like, he loves dunking, but I can't think of like who would be an overrated dunker in the NBA. All I can think of is like underrated guys, and that's it.
You said before that you're available to all these guys, that the NBA makes you available to all of them. So how does that work? Like, you have some sort of deal with the NBA?
Yeah. So what happened is for years is that my guys were winning pretty much, or they were, you know, there was guys that were coming in more prepared than others. And so they came to me and said, hey, like, instead of just working with the players individually, can we just put you under contract and make you available to everybody? And so if the players want, the NBA will fly me out to them, like, on the NBA, and then they'll get to train with me for however long they want to.
Who's the guy that you've gotten reached out for, like, got a text message from, like, holy shit, this guy wants to work with me?
Honestly, Dwight earlier this year, because, you know, the whole Superman thing back in the day, like, that was early YouTube days, and that was, you know, a crazy dunk contest. But Dwight hit me up in, like, August. And he was like, hey, man, I want to do the dunk contest. So I was like, what? I was like, first, because we didn't know, like, what kind of shape he was in. And he definitely wasn't into this season yet and having, like, kind of a rejuvenated year. So that was, like, the most surprising one. And then a couple years ago, like, before 2016, Zach LaVine hit me up. And he was like, hey, you know, you have an idea for this. And I was like, what? Like, why do you need my help, my man? Like, you're good. Like, when Oladipo hit me up, he was just like, obviously I'm not going to win. He was like, what can I do to make him remember me? I was like, okay. So, but yeah, probably LaVine and Dwight.
Obviously, everyone kind of always talked about LeBron famously never competing in the dunk contest. How do you think he would do? And who's a guy in the NBA who's never participated that you think would be amazing at it?
I think LeBron would have been good. Like, a lot of people say that he's a game dunker and whatnot, but obviously, he could do trick dunks if he wanted. That dude could jump from well behind the free throw line if he wanted. Terrence Ferguson from Oklahoma City, and he still has a chance. That's who I'd want to see in it. That kid's out of control. Like, his 1 foot is like LaVine's, and then the kid in Utah, Rajon Tucker. I'd like to see him in it too.
We keep mentioning Zach LaVine, and there's this video out on Twitter, Zach LaVine trying a 360 dunk from the free throw line. If anyone can actually pull this off in a slam dunk contest other than Zach LaVine, I would have thought it was Derrick Jones Jr. And I got really hyped when I saw Derrick Jones Jr. was setting up for a dunk that was obviously going to be from the free throw line, even though he was a foot ahead of the free throw line. I think we can all admit, even you, Chuck.
Yeah, he messed up.
Was this one of the?
Yeah, he messed up.
Was this discussed? Was someone like, you know, he can probably do this if he puts his mind to it, doing a 360 from the free throw line, that would automatically go down as the greatest dunk in slam dunk history. Why haven't we seen even an attempt in this contest?
Well, one, because Zach LaVine's a freak of nature off of 1 foot, and his like control, like spinning off 1 foot, like going straight on, is a whole different ballgame for a 1 foot jumper. But I think it's something that Derek could do. I think Terrence Ferguson might be one that could do that as well. And then, I mean, he just crapped the bed, but in 2013, James White, that what he had planned is he was going to do a 360 from the free throw line, because he could, and he has before. So I think it will happen. There's just so much stuff that people are like, every dunk's been done, but it's just, that's so untrue. And I really think over the next few years, like, we're going to start seeing some like crazy stuff unfold in the dunk contest.
Well, give us a dunk that hasn't been done yet, because Billy is always here championing the fact that all the dunks have been done.
Let's see. So there's like a hide and seek off of backboard. So what you do is you jump in the air. When you're in the air, you throw behind your back. It hits the backboard. While you're doing a 360, you catch it and you dunk it.
Impossible. Can't be done.
People said double between the legs was impossible. People said a 540 was impossible. People said a 720 was impossible. There's no limitations. Athletes keep evolving, and it's this stuff. Like, this is stuff that's happening right now that people aren't seeing.
Do you have like a 7-foot hoop in your backyard that you, anytime you get inspired, you can go out back? I know you can still dunk, but I'm just saying, when you get a crazy idea for like an insane dunk that you wouldn't be able to do on a 10-foot hoop, you have a smaller hoop that you're like, let me go test this thing out just to make sure it can work.
No, I'm old school. I just use the doorway, and I just invisible basketball hoop. That's what I do. And if if it feels like it can happen, it usually can.
How often do you make those?
Yeah.
I mean, daily.
What is the greatest slam dunk contest according to you, Chuck?
Great question.
2000.
Thank you.
The reason being is that without 2000, there wouldn't be 2016, and there wouldn't be 2020, and the way that dunk contest happened in 2000, when Vince Carter did his first dunk, that opened like a Pandora's box of like, oh, damn, like there's stuff that we haven't thought of yet, and which means that we can think of our own stuff too, and so that kind of just opened the door. And I really feel like that opened the gateway to like professional dunking as well. But the way that Vince delivered, and the anticipation of everything, of the contest being gone for 2 years, and him just delivering and putting on such an amazing dunk contest performance, and with three dunks that had never been seen before and most people never even thought of before, I just don't think anything even comes close to 2000.
The hanging with the elbow on the rim, a little overrated. You can admit that. They were all great dunks. The elbow on the rim, come on, give me it. A little overrated, that dunk.
Yeah, I don't even know who this guy is. Can you just patch me in with someone else?
I'm telling you. So Chuck, the guys that you heard from, Chris and Billy, they've been very skeptical on that 2000 dunk contest with Vince Carter, and saying that, oh, the elbow in the room. Do you understand how difficult it is to jump with that speed from that far and put your arm in the room without breaking it in half?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm sure that they understand really well.
Well, no, of course, because they both dunked before. That's why I brought it up.
No, I mean, it's not underrated. It was shock value, and it was something that nobody had seen before on TV. So I don't see how that could be, like, an overrated dunk.
The worst slam dunk contest of all time.
Man. Oh, boy. So I got two of them. Unfortunately, 97, man. The one with Kobe was bad. My man Darvin Ham got killed in that contest. And then I'm going to go, oh, man, there's like a couple. 2010 was real bad with Gerald Wallace and Nate Robinson. And that's the year LeBron was supposed to be in it. Then 95. 95 was bad, even though Harold Miner took the W. It was just a terrible contest. It was like 19 misses in that contest. But, yeah, those three for sure.
Who's the best in-game dunker in the NBA, according to you, Chuck Millen, the guy that says the slam dunk contest is broken?
Right now?
Yeah, best in-game dunker. You can go right now and all time.
Okay, all time is Vince. Easy. And then right now, I think Aaron Gordon's up there. I think he's probably, him or Derrick Jones are the best.
Oh, now you're trying to repair the relationship because you burned the bridge. We all know what happened there, Chuck.
Listen. I just tell it how it is, my man.
Well, Chuck, we appreciate your time, man. Where can people follow you and see the stuff you're doing with Team Flight Brothers?
We're on Instagram, at Team Flight Brothers, and then mine's at TFB Chuck the Boss on Instagram and Twitter as well.
Follow him there. Check him out. Team Flight Brothers, again, just reinventing the game on dunking. I appreciate your time, man.
Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.
I rather enjoyed that conversation.
Yeah.
It's an interesting occupation. I was always curious as to how one became a dunk coach. Thank you for putting that on our radar, Anthony.
That's what I'm doing, guys. Later. I'm just an investigative journalist here for the shipping container.
Here's what I do. I read copy. Hiring used to be hard. Multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, a confusing review process. But today, hiring can be easy, and you only have one place to go to get it done. ZipRecruiter.com/...
Great.
Great.
Oh, you guys are getting better every week.
Thank you.
ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job sites, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter candidates and focus on the best ones. That is a new part of this copy. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, people, right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, our listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/crate. That's ZipRecruiter.com/CRATE.
Yeah, spell faster.
We got it. We also got to do it in one unified voice so that people don't get confused.
Can we try it
ready?
Again?
ZipRecruiter.com/CRATE.
C-R-A-T-E.
Oh, Chris,
what's
going on here? You are an anarchist when it comes to ZipRecruiter.
Oh, my God.
If I were ZipRecruiter, I would hate you, Chris.
I love
Cody.
ZipRecruiter.
ZipRecruiter.com/CRATE. ZipRecruiter.com/crate. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Thank you so much.
C-R-A-T-E.
For supporting us here on Mystery Crate. We know it's, I mean, it's a bit of a roller coaster if you follow this pod week to week. Last week we're doing an MLS preview. The week before that we're talking to Purple from the Miami nightlife scene. This week we're talking to a dunk coach. I mean, it's all over the place, man. But you know what's not all over the place? Dan Lebatard's South Beach Sessions.
D-A-N-L-E-B-A-T-U.
What?
R-D. Lebatard.
Dan has several amazing guests on his show. John Amici was most recently on South Beach Sessions. He had an interesting conversation about the Wade's public support for Zaya, and it culminated with what is the fiercest Stump the Meech yet. You're going to want to check that out. And coming up on the next episode of South Beach Sessions, Dan talks to John Tesh.
Oh, does he?
We're keeping it young here on
this
South
Beach.
This
was funny,
Sessions.
Though. You guys got to admit, this one was funny. Because it wasn't...
J-O-H-N-T-S-H.
What?
It is funny. Tony and Mike were here when we were doing it, and it didn't just get old because it was John Tesh, who's damn near 70 years old. But on top of that, Pat Sajak and Bob Costas made appearances, and there's a feud. There's a feud that will surprise you in the middle of this.
You got the guy from Taj.0?
Wow. No. Oh, although I desperately want to watch Tesh.0 now.
Yeah, that'd be
I do. That's such a better show. Yes, John Tesh.0.
Yes. So John Tesh on South Beach Sessions. We're going to talk to him about Round Ball Rock. It's going to be really fun. Make sure you subscribe to South Beach Sessions and all the shows. We have a dedicated channel feed here. Everyone does a great job, from Sarah Spain to Marty Smith to Mina Kimes, featuring Lenny to Stupidity. Make sure to sample all of our great shows here on Lebatard and Friends. Just subscribe to that one channel feed and you get all the shows, and it all counts the same. Then go individually subscribe, because that just boosts our numbers on an Apple podcast system that, to be frank, is easily manipulated.
Yes. What's your favorite rock?
Dwayne Johnson.
I like Crocodile Rock.
Oh, that's a good one too.
Roy?
Sandstone.
Oh,
Dan?
Wow.
Rock and Roll.
Wow.
I like the Hard.
Yes.
I like Detroit Rock City.
All right.
Well, we forgot Chris.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Oh. C-H-R-I-S. Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This episode was great. G-R-A-T-E.
I don't think that's
great. Yeah.